This podcast is sponsored by NatureBox. NatureBox ships great tasting, healthy snacks right to your door. Forget the vending machine. What is it, buddy?
Nothing.
Okay. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with healthy and delicious treats like dark cocoa almonds. Support this podcast by ordering a free NatureBox sampler box at naturebox.com/Joey. That's right. Free NatureBox snacks are found at naturebox.com/Joey. Go to MeUndies.com and check out all of the men's and women's underwear they have. They have socks. They have t-shirts. When you go to MeUndies.com, go to MeUndies.com/Joey, and you're going to get 20% off of your first order. And they're also offering you free shipping in the United States and Canada. Go to IronDragonTV.com. It's a Roku channel with all of your favorite martial arts movies. They're the leader in 4K technology. You can watch them on your Android tablets. When you go to IronDragonTV.com, use code WordJoey to get 2 free rentals. And go to Onnit.com. When you go to Onnit.com, use code WordChurch to get 10% off of all the optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, ShroomTech Immune, and ShroomTech Sport. Code WordChurch for 10% off.
Oh, shit. 22nd of April. Little Hall of Notes for you motherfuckers. You're like, who's Hall of Notes, Joey? What's with the questions, bitch? Two white dudes out of Philadelphia throwing fucking heat. Oh shit. It's a church of what's happening now. Lisa Ayette in the house. Eleanor the Irish woman in the house. Oh shit. Take it, Lee. There's a little blue shirt on today. What?
Joey loves this shirt. Every time I wear it, he gets really excited.
I was laughing during the break because when we were kids, I used to go to this buffet with this fucking hilarious Irish dude. And it was on Monday nights. It was in Kearny, New Jersey. It was the town before Kearny on that same strip. And we would, you know, the first couple times I didn't know the whole breakdown of it. But after a while, the breakdown was you ate a little breakfast and you ate a little lunch. Then you smoked dope the rest of the afternoon and you went there at 8 o'clock, 7:30, and you destroyed this fucking buffet. And one of the guys did not smoke. And I'll never forget that people be online talking, like, you know, two women. Oh, my God, look at the shrimp. I'll take one. I'm allergic to shrimp. Did I tell you what happened on the seaside last year? I had a shrimp and I got sick. And then the other lady chimes in. No, no, that's because you had shrimp at the Beachcomber. You should have gone to this other place, Joey's Lagoon. They have the best shrimp. No, really? Yeah, they give you five. And they're talking. And my friend would pull up next to them and go, take your time. And they would just fucking look at him and get aggravated. And he would say little things like that. The one time he asked Leo, look at her ass. Before you touch that rib, go look at your ass.
Oh.
Ask yourself, do you need that rib?
You ask me that all the time.
Oh, my God. All the fuck. Once he said that, I died.
I love that.
I died. But we were laughing because that's what he'd say to people. Take your time. And he'd say it so nonchalantly that you would feel bad. You knew where he was coming from.
There's nothing worse than when you're high and then someone's taking a long time at a restaurant.
Oh, you know it. You know it when you see them. You're like, oh, this is going to be a fucking nightmare.
Even if you're not high, even if you're just hungry, that's infuriating.
Listen, here's my magic. Somebody. Here's my magic. As soon as they come with the fucking thing.
You got to know.
And they give me the menu, I don't want to hear no stories. Because when he comes back with the water, you better give him the whole fucking order because I'm giving him my fucking order.
Yeah.
I already know what I mean. I don't have time to wait. No, no, come back in 10 minutes. Go fuck yourself. I'm ordering this shit right now. There's no dilly-dallying.
You're not a big specials person?
No, don't talk. Tell me about your specials. Does that come with brown rice? Listen, just give me what the fucking cut. I can't deal with that shit. And some people are just stupid. They deserve. I went to the zoo today. And on the way out of the zoo, it's on Victory Boulevard. So my wife goes, let's just get some Cuban food and bring it home. I called Lee twice. He didn't answer the phone because he was at a meeting because my wife left the phone at home and she didn't know how to tap into my internet to get the guy's number so we could eat it. So we had to go there and order the food. When I walked in and ordered the food, there was these four fucking Chinese people standing there. I don't even know if they looked like Chinese people. I don't know where the fuck right they were there. From. And they ordered food. And then when I left with Mercy for 15 minutes, I came back, same people, and they're standing in the doorway. And I'm like, guys, what the fuck? Get out of the doorway.
Yeah.
Like, I got to tell you to get out of the doorway.
Yeah.
Like, they just look at you like mad.
Tell them. They don't know what they're doing.
And it's like, get the fuck out of the way. You should have sat down and ordered. You could have ordered. Well, we're waiting. What the fuck? Who are you waiting for? Fuck them. Fuck them if they're not here. I ain't got time to wait. They know the time.
Yeah,
they knew lunchtime is 12 o'clock.
That's right.
Not 12:16, not 12:18. That means you order your food and fuck them.
If it was their restaurant, they would have kicked you out.
Yeah,
standing there waiting.
Right. It drives me fucking crazy when people fuck around in restaurants.
I need to invent something that you can just see what I'm seeing. Because I went to the grocery store with Paula a couple weeks ago, and we went to the deli counter, and this woman was standing at the deli counter, and she says, "Ooh, what's Gouda? I've never had Gouda before. Can I have a little taste of it?" And she sat there and went through like literally six or seven cheeses.
Oh, please.
And we just left, and we came back later. But I just, this, like, that's what I miss about not like having you there, just so I could just see you. Like, my dream reality show is just sitting you down. And like with like the wrist thing so you can't move, and just having somebody being like, "What's this Gouda?"
You wanna see me get aggravated? Go with me to a camera the Jersey Mike's. That's where my aggravation comes in. Full fucking bore. The first guy that puts bacon on a turkey sandwich, I want to strangle him.
Why?
You know, club sandwich. Because when was the last time you got a club sandwich in Jersey? It don't exist. Now they do.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, there was no club, nothing. There was no turkey club.
I don't eat it. So
that's not a jerk. Yeah, I don't eat that shit. Why would you have a chicken cheesesteak? You're insulting me if this is Jersey Mike's. Why would you have a chicken cheesesteak? And shame on you if you ordered a chicken cheesesteak.
I agree.
You know
I
what? If you got a chicken cheesesteak, you got a bad heart. I hope you die anyway. You should have got the beef. That's what a cheesesteak is. A cheesesteak does not have fucking chicken in it, okay? I don't know what fucking planet you're from. But they insult the whole thing. They're lucky I've lightened up over the years.
Yeah.
And I got no dignity
no more.
Well,
we have to give in to these
idiots. I go
in
there, I get turkey and the provolone on the fucking wheat bread, or I get the tuna on the salad. But every time I go in there, first of all, there's 15 people behind the counter.
Yeah.
And 14 of them are just morons. And the dumbest one is the one he puts behind the lettuce.
Yeah.
Which is the most special station. He's got a guy with a diamond tattoo on his on his fucking forearm. Who puts a diamond tattoo on their forearm? Right there. You know the guy's born to fucking lose. Put him in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Put him by the metal in the back. That guy ain't got a chance. He never had a chance since day one. A fucking diamond on his forearm. Just a diamond.
Oh, my God.
No, live a life. No shine on crazy diamond. No, nothing. Just a diamond. Like, you know what? I want a diamond on my forearm. You know what? Even the tattoo guy looked at him like, oh, this guy's a fucking moron.
Yeah, just take his money. That's
this
wrong.
Guy and that there's 19 people behind the counter. Listen, I don't know nothing about nothing, but I know about labor. And I know about sea cork as labor. You put two fucking guineas behind the counter, an Irish dude, and they'll outdo Subway and Jersey Mike's on their own. And one of those little midget fat Italian mothers that's back there yelling with the apron on, throwing
hit
meatballs.
People with a wooden spoon.
She don't write that's nothing down. She's never got an order wrong in her life.
Yep.
Okay? She's never got an order wrong in her life. She just looks at you and goes, "What's next? Let me get a turkey on white. What do you think I should have? Listen, I'm not fucking giving out fortunes today. Have your cheese ready. Who's next?" You know, they just bang it out. They just bang it out. You can't go in there and say, what's good? This is Sea Caucus. Well, Sea Caucus is in the fucking city, a beautiful state of New Jersey, and Jersey Mike's hails from fucking New Jersey. So when I go in there, I always got to see these Gentiles ordering the, and I feel like going, come on, guy. Well, Mike's way. Mike's way don't good on fucking turkey. Mike's way only goes good on fucking roast beef. Roast beef has the Mike's Way, who they stole from Blimpy. I used to get the Mike's Way roast beef at Blimpy.
I never heard of Blimpy till I came out here. 86th
Street in New York City. I don't think Blimpy's around anymore.
They still have one on, I think it's Moore Park in Laurel Canyon.
I remember, I knew it as an adult, but
really?
Not as a kid.
A Blimpy base.
Really?
I think so. I'm not sure.
You gotta Google
I'll do some research because I don't
want to. A Blimpy.
I don't want to turn you down.
No, Blimpy.
I don't want to turn you down.
No, it can't be any good no more.
Well, we had like hoagie shops in South Philly, so I don't remember. Like, none of chains I didn't notice until I left.
I don't remember
chains as a kid.
I wouldn't go to a chain if I lived in the East Coast.
Yeah, like,
if
McDonald's I lived in Jersey, and Burger King. That was normal.
That was like a special treat. And KFC.
Yeah.
And we also had Geno's. You remember Geno's?
And Roy Rogers.
Geno's was Burger King and
yes,
and Kentucky Fried Chicken put together, Lee.
No so, way.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. On 48th Street in fucking West New York. Geno's. And you had Jack in the Box, but that was in Queens and the Bronx.
I never had Jack in the Box.
I used to go to Jack in the Box in the Queens and the Bronx. Like, I went like two times. I got fish and chips one time. It was fucking horrid. And that was the last time I went to Jack in the Box.
Awful,
like, I didn't know. I was a kid.
Yeah.
You can get fish anywhere.
Yeah, I didn't fucking.
There's one in downtown and there's one in Calabasas.
Really? A Blimpy?
Blimpy?
Place.
Yeah.
What's their menu?
Let's look.
The number 9 is the roast beef, I think.
Okay. You know what? Just know off the top of your head?
If that
it's been,
comes
it's
up,
been,
I'm
I have
dying.
Not gone into a Blimpy
it's come
base.
Up.
I have not gone into a Blimpy base in 20 fucking years. At least. I can't.
It looks good.
Oh my God! It's the original, original. It's the original.
They have wraps too. They've evolved. Well,
no, they're
flatbread. They're trying to fit in.
They don't have numbers up here, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think they stopped. I think they stopped.
They're trying to fit in with those wraps.
If they have flatbreads and fucking now, what is a flatbread? Can somebody?
Oh wait, no, no,
I'm not sure. I think they made that up. They just flatten it and they make people feel good about themselves and they do.
Hit me with the menu.
No, that you got. See, this is how crazy you are. You got the exact right for the Mike's way for the roast beef and provolone with. Tomatoes, lettuce, it's onion, vinegar, and oil, and oregano.
Who the fuck are you going to tell my business to, Lee? Who the fuck are you going to tell my business is food?
Your business,
my business is food, movies, and reefer, blow, getting your dick sucked. That's my business. I don't know nothing about stars and fucking meteors and the next civilization and what happened 3,000 years ago and the lion who attacked the Martian.
Or LinkedIn.
Yeah, LinkedIn. These people want to be your friend on LinkedIn.
What is that?
No, I just erased the messages.
I get them all the time.
3-4 a day from people that I hate.
Dave Tyree, people I haven't heard from in years.
Now they're all on a professional network. You haven't worked in 4 fucking years. Go to fucking broke.net and look me up. You're going to go on fucking LinkedIn to hang out with other social people who are actually doing something, and you're going to bring their touch of death to the fucking webpage. All those webpages start great until the kisses of death get on there. Dane Cook became a star on MySpace. I get on MySpace, boom, it goes kaput. You know, a kiss of death gets on there, it's over.
You were the kiss of death?
Yeah,
MySpace?
I killed MySpace, me and a couple other fucking people.
So good. Thank you.
Now they're about to kill fucking Facebook. Any day now, Facebook is
dead.
Do you think so? You think
it's
dead?
I can see it coming already. Yeah. It's Christian. They got ads.
My mom liked something.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
Now she gets letters from Jesus all the time.
Yeah, Jesus.
And
like
she goes,
Jesus.
How am I going to dislike Jesus?
Twitter's great. Listen, they're all great. Every medium that's going to come up is going to be better than the next one. You know, you're all waiting for that. I'm surprised Facebook lasted as long as it did. You know, Instagram's going for it. They don't fuck around.
Oh, Instagram, people love too. Pictures, you know? I stink at Instagram. These I got to do it more.
I can't do it.
The biggest problem with Facebook is just that people's families are getting on there now. That's why I don't really go on Facebook anymore. Because when I started selling Flying Jew t-shirts, my aunt, who's 50-something, bought a Flying Jew t-shirt, and I wanted to kill myself. Because there's
she bought it.
Well, it's very nice of her.
Did she tell your mom?
Yeah, they all know about it.
And what'd they say?
I told you, my mom can't get past your part of the opening of the podcast, so she hasn't seen a minute, thank God. She just, your opening, just she gets all flustered and too many swears, so she's never made it past an opening.
Thank too God. Many swears.
My mom.
She eats fettuccine Alfredo, I don't want to listen
everyone
to the podcast.
Everyone eats fettuccine Alfredo.
You know, not past 10. When you're 8, you eat that shit. It's got cream, and you eat it. Once you're 15, you realize
you're
eating.
You just ruined somebody's eating lunch right now and eating fettuccine Alfredo.
I hope they die, too. Fuck them. I hope you choke on that fettuccine Alfredo.
That cream sauce is too creepy for me.
Next thing you know, you're constipated. You should have had the marinara. It goes right through you like a fucking rope.
Constipated?
Get heartburn like a person.
We just found out that you swallow gum.
I've been swallowing gum
since
I was 4.
I can't believe that.
And sometimes I shit them whole. When I swallow them like a little ball. Like I practice like smuggling.
Like you make it hard.
Yeah, I make it hard. I make a little ball, so I shit it right out. And every once in a while, like I eat too much gum, and my system won't process it.
Right.
So I'll pull. Like I go to wipe my ass, and then suddenly there's like a string of bubble gum. I think it's like, you know, when you bite
like
into a pizza.
Like when it gets stuck to your shoe?
Yeah, when you bite into a marinara and you pull the cheese,
okay.
And there's a cheese string. I've had little strings of bubble gum in my asshole, and I just wrap it up. Or they get caught up in your pubic hairs.
You get caught up in your spokes.
You got like a little piece of bubble gum in your asshole hair.
Oh, no.
And then it dries up in the middle of the night because it's dry in the room.
Wait,
then you wake up in the morning.
You don't wipe your ass?
You wipe your ass, but
not
sometimes
a lot
the bubble gum.
Don't wipe their ass, Lee. Don't
just,
lie.
I wipe my ass. The problem is.
Wait, you take 3 showers a day, but you don't check to see if there's bubble gum in your asshole hair?
Listen to the fucking story. Sometimes you're wiping it on the wipe, the bubble gum gets stuck into your pubic hairs and it pulls a little bit. You're too tired. You're like, I'm not going to deal with this later. I'll deal with it in the morning. So you go to bed and there's a little tiny little piece of bubble gum connected to one of your pubic hairs. And you got to get up in the morning and work the pressure up and rip it out like an eyebrow, like with tweezers. You can't go up to somebody.
Nose hair clippers.
Yeah, you can't go up to somebody and go, hey, man, rip this off because why do you have bubble gum in your ass? Or why do you have a little piece of juicy fruit? Because it doesn't, it even smells like when you rip the hair out, and you can still smell the gum. But it's like a little mixed with shit and intestines.
You should put peanut butter on there. It'll take it out faster.
Please tell me you don't smell the gum.
When you rip it up, you bet your ass I do.
I hope you do. I want you to.
You bet your ass I do. I'm a nasty fuck, Doug.
Aren't we all, though?
Anything comes out of your ass, you're going to smell it. If you shit a shoe, okay, you're going to smell it. You never shit a peanut out of your ass? Like,
yeah,
you ever take a shit and you see a peanut, you dig it out?
Yeah.
Wait, no. You dig into the bowl?
Why not? It's like The Exorcist. No. Dog, the other day I dropped my e-cigarette in the bowl after I pissed.
No, you didn't.
I took it out, wiped it down. I fucking, yes, I did.
You're making decent money. Just buy another e-cigarette.
I'm not in the mood to leave the house right now. You know what I'm saying? I got to go leave the house. That's a completely different story.
You have all these like insane rules, like no bacon on turkey, no avocado, no eggs on burgers, but an e-cigarrate in the toilet bowl. You're like,
fell right in my piss.
They put bacon on everything. I love that you don't like bacon on turkey. No. I just saw yesterday they're putting it in sushi. Isn't that the wrong thing?
They're putting it around pizza.
I can't.
I know.
That's not Domino's. It's a Little Caesars.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This guy hung
I've
out.
Never been there.
Around the
no, I know you've never been there, but you've been up four fucking nights scratching your head thinking how you could get it sent to the lady next door, and hopefully she's sleeping so you can mug the fucking pizza man and get your little pizza without nobody knowing, cocksucker, with no paperwork.
Do you eat bacon?
Oh, fuck yeah. I eat turkey bacon, and that pisses them off.
That's disgusting.
Who is turkey? This is what I'm saying. Then they go to Subway, and I had a pastrami. So that's not pastrami. That's turkey fucking meat. Even the cheese is made out of turkey. All the cold cuts at Subway are made from turkey.
Not the cheese, but yeah, the cold cuts.
No, all the cold cuts. Even if it's pepperoni, it's really turkey.
It's turkey-based.
Ham is turkey-based. Everything at Subway is turkey.
How do you do that? I don't understand.
Listen.
All right.
Just think about this. Think about how good it could be for you if you take something that's white, put it in a fucking grinder, and then make it look like salami. How good can it be for you?
Well, did you see that picture people sent us?
Oh, yeah, about the...
About the roast beef that was green?
Oh. Yeah, I wouldn't eat it.
Where's that, like, Arby's?
Subway.
Oh, Subway.
This dude who worked at Subway.
Arby's isn't even roast beef no more. It's human meat.
Oh.
It's human meat, I think. It's like some guy they cut up.
A friend of mine used to work there, and he said it was liquid. Like, they poured it into something, and then it turned into that. And I was like, what? And I think I ate it a couple times when I was a kid.
Delicious.
Yeah.
With some horseradish, three of those little Arby things and the cheese. Weren't bad. Then in El Paso, I used to always go to Arby's because it's cheap. You only get $300 for the week. You got to buy blow. You got to live on something.
That's
Arby's
true.
Has got the answer.
Then Arby's and Whataburger.
When I grew up, they had a ton of roast, like places to get like hot roast beef sandwiches that were great. They don't really. Did they have that in Jersey or was that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mixed roast beef, Philly.
Mixed roast beef, a nice sandwich.
Shit, right there.
Dipped in the fucking oil, dipped in the gravy sometimes.
Or so
they,
good. You get it
they
with
put the meat
gravy
and they
without,
on the side. It's fucking delicious, that shit. Very nicely.
I do stand up at Nick's Roast Beef because my brother runs it in Springfield, outside, right in the suburbs of Philly, and he pays me in beef fries.
What are beef fries?
It's just the roast beef on French fries with the gravy. Oh,
it's carnitas for white people. Lee.
It's so
sounds delicious.
That's what roast beef is, right? Carnitas for white. You like carnita fries, right?
Carne asada.
You'll give a finger for those carne asada. You have to see his face how he tells you.
What?
Yeah. Oh, they're amazing. What's better than steak, French fries, and cheese, and then like sour cream and guacamole on top? How can you beat it?
Oh, my God. How can I beat it? With a heart attack. That's how I can fucking beat it.
Yeah, right? I can't eat it anymore, Jesus but I can think Christ. About it.
Why can't you eat it anymore?
Because I've been trying to lose weight.
Oh.
Look how he says, I'm not trying to lose weight. He's all
I am. What do you want? Like, everyone knows.
You love that shit, though.
Hell yeah.
Those jalapenos.
Who doesn't? Everyone loves them. I mean, you wouldn't eat them? You would eat them. Yes, you would.
Not with guacamole. No, I hate guacamole.
What?
None of that shit.
Oh, wait. Do you not eat something that's green?
I don't eat a lot of things.
I think we were talking about this last time you were on.
I hate green,
You don't eat lettuce?
Only spinach.
Really?
That's the only one I like. I can't eat iceberg lettuce. I'll fight somebody if they put that.
Iceberg lettuce?
No, I hate it.
Hate it?
Yeah, it's awful. It tastes like crackers with water. I don't know. God. It's gross.
Iceberg lettuce when it's tough, but when it's good.
And it smells, too.
When it's got that.
I hate that, yeah.
When it's got on a sandwich, like tuna with a lot of iceberg.
I could snap from something like that.
Really? Mm-hmm. I like lettuce.
You got problems.
Do you like the wedge salad? I can see you liking a wedge salad.
No. I never got it. I don't get it. It's a piece of fucking thing with blue cheese on the side and bacon. Yeah. I got to cut it with a thing. And if you eat it, you feel like a fucking savage because you shouldn't eat it. It's this big on your goddamn fork, so...
Such a weird reason.
And then some places give, you know, they're not bad, I guess. Eleanor, you got a big fucking thing coming up this week.
Yes, I'm excited. Friday.
I went back to my house last night after I bombed at the store, and I thought about you.
Oh, at the store. I'm sorry.
At the store.
I didn't see you at the store. I saw you at the Laugh Factory.
The Laugh
Factory
was great. But it was funny because I just thought of the whole process. Like, I was watching something, and I remembered just something. Remember Georgia Jean?
Yeah.
Okay. So hot.
Okay.
This whole thing has got me riled up the last 3 or 4 years. It started with that fucking moron from, and I'm saying it like this, I don't even give a fuck no more. The guy from Letterman that got fired for saying the thing about the chicks. Did it bother me?
I mean, I mean,
that guy's never said a funny fucking thing in his life.
Right.
So for him to say that women, you know, whatever, I don't pay attention.
Oh, women aren't funny.
Right. I don't pay attention to that stuff. I never really have.
Yeah.
And I got, listen, I got my own problems with women. I call them bitches, whatever the fuck. Everybody knows I'm fucking around. I got a heart. All that other shit, feminism. I don't know nothing about that shit. I don't know nothing about that. You know, I think I know what, how everybody is and how everybody should feel. But one thing about last night that stuck out in my mind was that last night Eleanor did a show with 4 fucking gorillas.
This is true.
And when I walked in there, she was sitting with another girl, as calm as can be. She wasn't drinking. She didn't have a stupid story on how she had to go up first because she had a showcase somewhere else and she had to leave. There weren't 3 girls with her drinking in there, considering, you know, like some girl comics consider when they go on stage like a fucking party.
Yeah.
You just went down there, did your set, and got the fuck out of there. You gave Dom a ride home.
Yeah.
And then you had a spot at the store later
on
because I left before you came. And I was thinking about Georgia Jean. Now, here you are last night with me, Red Band, Rogan, Dom, you know.
And I had to follow Joe Diaz, by the way, which, not easy.
And you didn't complain.
I loved it.
Say nothing. And I'm thinking about Georgia Jean, and she said something. And she said once there was some argument on stupid Facebook. And I tell you, you know, I read my comments, but on the other side, the homepage, I never really read those comments.
Yeah.
But I got caught in a conversation.
Oh.
2 idiots were considering about women comics.
Okay.
And Georgia Jean, who I really liked, you know, she never bothered me.
Yeah, Australian girl, right?
Australian girl. She was no blazer fucking, you know, she was no Jerry Lewis.
Right.
But nice girl, sweet. She was working on it. You know, she was working on being funny. And she made a statement that that's why she quit comedy. Because every guy wants to hit on you. And I remember going in the shower, closing my computer, not saying anything. It's none of my business. And thinking about it on whatever drive I had. Like, you know what? Last I checked, that's in every fucking business.
Every business.
Every business. Guys want to fuck you. Yeah. Okay, so.
Like that Paige Van Sant? It must be really hard.
Did you see Dana White said everybody wanted to meet Paige Van Zandt after the fucking fight? Yeah. She's 21.
She's super hot.
Oh, yeah, she's cute. She's tiny. You know, her little pussy almost popped out 8 times on television. Hers and the other ones.
The only reason everybody watched.
But it's just, you know, like every woman, no matter what. You know,
we get watching, hit on. People get hit on.
Yeah, people get hit on. And some guys do it subtly. Some guys do it as an asshole. Some guys tell you you're going to lose your job if you don't suck their dick. I was watching Hannibal the Cannibal the other day.
Mm-hmm.
The one when she replaced, the one that won the Academy Award, she just replaced her. The redhead.
Julianne Moore
did it. And it was with Ray Liotta. And there's one part where she tells Ray Liotta in the basement, she goes, "You're still mad at me? Because I wouldn't go home with you. I tell you to go home to your fucking wife."
Yeah.
And he goes, don't walk all over yourself, Starling, you know.
Right.
There's a lot of farm-fed corn pussy in D.C., whatever, you know. And there are guys that do that. But you know what? The women that fucking stick it out, it's called tough skin.
Well, yeah, you just learn to deal with it. Look, I got 6 brothers, and if I was willing, they'd probably sleep with me. You know what I mean? They're just, men
animals.
Are just animals, and that's
animals.
Cool. But you got to learn to deal with it. And that's in any business. My mom worked at the government. People would hit on her. You know, everywhere you work.
And
you're
and you
a waitress.
Started,
you get
I was
going
to say, you were a server at a comedy club where you have to have 2 drinks. So it must happen every night.
Every night.
Every night.
I've had customers grab my ass. I've had comics pinch my ass. I had one bite my ass. That was awesome. At a Christmas party in front of Mitzi. And, you know, shit happens. I mean, I didn't get upset. It made me laugh. What am I going to do? It's up to you what you want to do with your butt. If you want to fuck them, fuck them. If you don't, don't. But you don't have to bitch about it. Who cares? Yeah, everybody. I'm happy people want to hit on me. That means I still got it. That's why I showcase my camel toe and my jeans.
That's right.
That's why I wear them. Lee, you know you look at it.
Who doesn't look at camel toe?
Everybody does. You know, I comb it out for you.
You know, you see the evolution of a woman in comedy, you know? They last, but sometimes they just tap out. Or sometimes they just go from the realm you're in right now to a lower realm, so they have no responsibility.
And that's a thing with women. They do get responsibility. Like, if you get married and you have a kid...
That's it.
As on
ovaries
you.
Take
and
over.
And that sucks. And women are naturally, you know, we have to
nourish,
stay there,
right,
nourish,
and
take care
right.
of I, unfortunately, didn't want to do that because I have testicles. And it's harder. I don't want kids. I don't. And I think it's great if you have kids. But you, even as a father, you can see the strains now. It's different. You're on the road. You're like, oh, I miss my kid.
Please. It's a
but
different
as a
head.
Woman,
it's a different head.
It would drive you insane.
It'd drive you insane.
I think.
Yeah.
I think. That's just me. And my family, my mother would go crazy. She had 10 kids. She was a single parent. She had to go to work. She was thrilled to go to work, get the fuck away from us. But she because she had a... feed us, you know what I mean?
How the fuck are you in Chicago with two kids?
Philadelphia.
No, I'm just saying, how the fuck are you on the road in Chicago?
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. On the
Philadelphia
road.
With two kids at home.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's so hard. So women do tend to tag out quicker than men because they take on that. And it's not easy. I know female comics that are funny and great, and they have kids, and it's fucking hard. I mean, look at Pascatelli. Tammy Pascatelli's hilarious, and she goes on the road all the time. She has a kid. And it sucks. I bet for her it sucks.
How old is Vito? What's his name, Vito?
He's got to be...
5, 6?
Maybe. Maybe around
there. Well,
that's
not a bad age because, you know, Luca watches him.
Right. Luca hooks that up.
But
thank
still,
God he's Mr. Mom. I love that.
But still, a mom is a mom.
That's
and,
right.
And, sometimes, and they get to know it. They get... Once but there's
I bet
a
you
disaster
fathers,
or something, it's a disaster. But you could still... do comedy in Los Angeles. You could still... There's so many things you could do in Los Angeles.
But you'll never hear her bitch about it, Tammy. She just does her thing.
She just does her thing.
She just goes and does her thing. That's what I like about it.
Do you think you have to choose? Because I'm nowhere near ready to have kids at all. We're not even talking about it. But
I'm not even sure if you should.
I know.
I'm worried about you.
Who knows? At this point, with all these edibles. But Paula is going to law school, and she's working really hard to become a lawyer. And I saw my mom went through it. My mom went to law school, too. And when she had my brother and I, She didn't work for like 8 or 10 years, and it definitely set her back coming back into the job. So like I can see, I want kids. Like I used to really, really want kids, but now I'm like, I can see Paula's point. If she was like, I just killed myself for 3 years plus starting out working the first 3 years. I don't want to have kids and then have to give it up. I put a lot of work into it. So it's like, it is kind of fucked up. I can see where it's not really fair. And same thing with the hitting on. Like, yeah, you could just, like, let it roll off your back, but it's just, like, just another thing added on to the hard part of already trying to become a comic. Like, imagine, like, you went through a lot of shit, but then imagine if every time some guy you didn't like was hitting on you. It must make it harder.
Well, it just depends what you do with the situation. Listen, man, if you get into comedy and guys are hitting on you and they've never hit on you before, then you've been fucking sheltered. Okay, you've lived in a fucking box.
That's
okay?
true.
You can walk down the street and get hit
when you
on go,
when you were
it.
12 was the first time a woman. When you were like 11 was the first time some creepy fucking 15-year-old hit on you. He saw that you had like 3 hairs on your pussy or some shit, or saw you in a bikini, or saw what he thought your body was going to look like, and he hit on you. And women, you know, at first they, oh my God, that guy likes me. But then one day they decide. I was watching Tom Papa last night, and he was talking about. He was talking about how his daughters, and he's like, you know, they think that every man in the world is like dad, so pretty soon I got to start beating the mom, you know, just to show them that dad don't fuck around, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's some women that come to the comedy store, and the guy says you're beautiful, and they fucking lose their mind. Like,
why, though?
It's the first time it's happened, and there's women that, hey, listen, I want to eat your ass, and they just keep walking. That's good. Next, and they just go to the next one.
Right, but unless they're preventing you from getting somewhere because they want to sleep with you, like if they say, if you don't sleep with me, you can't go on stage, right? If that happened, would I sleep with the guy? No, I'd beat the fuck out of him and then walk on stage. That's how it works. But maybe that's a crazy mentality because I have 6 brothers. I mean, but my first, you were saying, his getting hit on, the first person was my brother Jimmy peeking in the shower at me. And then he goes, I'll give you gum if you let me look longer. That was my brother. We were related. I mean, that was good gum, too. It was Benteen.
But it's so right there, her saying that, like, I didn't fucking go nuts, but I knew that was just an excuse for her to
out.
It
is an excuse. It's an out for women.
It's an out for women. You know, it's hard to do comedy. It's a hard fucking journey.
Fuck,
and
yeah.
It's a hard.
And it is dominated by men.
And it is dominated by men. But what field isn't dominated by men? Mm-hmm. You know, listen.
Stripping.
I have a fucking daughter at the house. And I want to give her the best chance in the world that you can. And I'm going to tell her she's got all these opportunities available to her. But I'm also going to tell her the truth. That no matter what happens, you got to work harder than that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Don't tread on the, they're going to give it to you on whatever. You got to work harder than that motherfucker. And even then,
yeah,
they might not give it to you. But it rolls off your chest. Yeah. Now you got to decide what else to do. You can't take the abuse, you know. This is what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's a male-dominated fucking everything. It's a boys' club.
It's a boys' club,
and you could shave your head. You could play girl softball. You can get tattoos.
Whatever you want.
You can do all this shit you fucking want.
If you let it affect you.
If you let it fucking affect you. Me, if I was a woman, man, I just keep fucking marching. Because, listen, damn if you sleep with the guy and damn if you don't sleep with the guy.
Right.
You're not
going
to lose no matter what, so don't sleep with the fucking guy.
And is it, at some point, does it turn into a benefit? Like, I always hear, like, female comics who might get on TV sooner or maybe you could flirt with a booker. So, like, there is another side to it that could help you out.
But, I mean, look at Mitzi Shore. She was, people would say, oh, you had to sleep with her to get on stage. That wasn't necessarily true. She picked you.
It could have happened.
You. No, I worked for her for 6 years, and she would tell me straight. I was her personal assistant, and she would tell me every story. And sometimes she'd pass guys because they were good looking, and then she'd sleep with them. And if they didn't keep being funny, She'd get rid of them. But it wasn't like you had to sleep with her to get on stage. Now, she's a whore, right? Because she did that. But if a guy did that, he's a hero. Right? I don't like that shit. I think it's all the same. You're all whores. And that's cool. Be it. Be what you want to be. But she didn't prevent somebody from going on stage if they didn't sleep with her. She did not do that.
Oh, this guy's cute. I'm going to pass him. See what I can get.
That's exactly what
and
she would
she'd
do.
And she'd pass him. She'd suck his dick.
But bartenders, bartenders she hired, hilarious. And she would do it, and she would get rid of
them. If they didn't move forward, you got to move, you know, you're going to get a piece of ass.
She goes, this guy didn't know what was in a rum and coke, so I got rid of him.
I wouldn't want.
He was great in bed.
I wouldn't want to suck a dick and to get put on a show, like a stand-up show.
And then, I got on there because I sucked a dick.
And even then, what's that going to do for you? It's going to get you there the first time. What are you going to do, keep sucking dicks the rest of your fucking life?
Wait a minute. That's kind of how I got on the Blue Show.
So,
I'm just kidding.
But it's one of those things where you I have a lot of respect for women. I was raised by a single mom. I seen what it took. I seen how my mom, you know, I hear all these stories. I live in Studio City. I see women with, you know, two kids with a brown woman in the car next to them, and they can't do dick without that brown woman.
That's
you
right.
know? You go to these parks and you see the kids, every kid is white and every fucking nanny is Mexican. There's not
so
a parent
sad.
There. But you ever go to Victory and Violent and go to fucking Target over there?
Mm-mm.
How many times you look across the street and see a Mexican woman that's pregnant with a kid in the fucking stroller with another kid holding her? She's crossing the street. That's three kids. But that fucking chick from Studio City with two kids needs a woman to stay in her house 40 hours
that's
a
right.
week to help her. You know?
She could get a shower.
So she could get a shower, and I have to catch yoga, and she could walk with her namaste pants into some fucking coffee shop.
I agree.
And double park and show people her importance. You know, I see that type of shit, what people do and people we can't do. I come from my mom worked. So many dogs. You know, listen, the apple don't fall far from the tree. People always go, Joey Diaz is a hustler. What do you think? I watched this on TV?
Yeah.
You think you learned this in a book? You learn from watching. Somebody who, like I
Whoever
told Lydia,
was your influence.
Listen, I don't know much about Martians. I'm not Johnny Intelligent, but I'll tell you what I know how to do. I know how to leave the house in the morning with nothing and come home with fucking $100. I'll do it every fucking day. Even if I got to borrow that $100, I'm making my point. I come home with something. You don't know how many times I left the house at 8 o'clock to go to the store, and I come back with a gram of blow, weed, $20 for lunch, two joints,
Jesus.
A jacket. Because I know how to put shit together.
Yep.
There's something that you have to know how to put. And I didn't learn this
from
a man.
You learned how to survive.
I learned this from a woman. Yes. I saw my mom, how she'd get up, hungover, take a shower, come out, get a fucking piece of bread, a coffee, and let's go. Go. Come on. What are you talking about, TV? Let's go. Come on. Yeah. Boom. To the bank. To here. To there. To eat. To the Bronx. To the back. Boom, boom, boom. And after you did everything, then we went to a Yankee game or a Met game. Right. But that was after we did 30 fucking things.
Yeah.
You know? And when a woman comes to L.A. and a woman wants to be successful, she's got to go out. She's got to write. She's got to do all these fucking things. And I've seen all different angles. We've seen the women that came and were good looking and got to drinking cocktails. They gone.
Yeah.
Gone. Party girls, they don't fucking last. They get ugliest first. Those party girls get filled with sperm and fucking vodka and those martinis and sperm. That shit will make you age quicker than a fucking than anything in the world. You'll look like me after, and you'll be 35, and we've seen it.
Only if you swallow it. If you let it go in your face, it helps.
It's very nice, but we've seen it in L.A.
Good moisturizer.
But you see these, you know, at the store, we saw women that came with fake tits, Barbie.
Seen everything.
With the vein. The vein,
you
talking,
motherfucker.
You know, we were talking about women. We saw women come and go that were beautiful.
I've seen a million women come and
beautiful. And you sit there today and go, where the fuck are they? I'd like to take 10 off the list and look them up on Facebook and see what fucking happened to them. But my point being, I don't know. And there you are.
The strong ones and the funny ones are still around.
Now, do you think that being a waitress at the store all those years helped you advance in comedy?
I will say that 12 years, and that's fucked up. That's how long I was there, 12 years, really was the best college you could go to for stand-up. I mean, every night I watched stand-up comedy. I could recite everyone's act. Even if they were good and off the cuff, I knew where they were going. Because it was innate. I knew when to drop a tab. I knew when to pick up a tab. I knew every minute. Some comics were really bad and you could just you just knew every word and it was whatever, but there, you know, so it was in there. It was definitely subconsciously, because now writing, I'll be like, oh, that's so-and-so's joke, I heard that in 1998, Brian Bradley did that, you know, and I'll be like, I must have picked that up, so scratch that, start over, you know what I mean? So that kind of sucks.
By the way, where is Brian Bradley?
I don't know, but wasn't he funny? God love him.
And when he made me laugh. Marilyn?
No. He got in a fight with. Oh. He used to bring the audience. He used to make me laugh so.
He was doing Grease or something in Broadway.
Yeah. You know what? I heard he went to, I believe, and I could be confusing people, take care of his father in Florida. And now he does like cruise ships. But I could have that wrong. But I thought that was right. I don't know. I'd have to ask. But this is my point. A lot of people do break, like talk shit. You know how comics are. We talk shit to people. I've heard a million people say to me, you only got on shows because you fucked dice. Now, and that could be true. He does help me out. Absolutely. And we were engaged. We lived together 5 years. I left him, moved out after Freddie passed, moved out. I was trying to figure my shit out. I didn't know what to do. And then I just thought, you know, all these years, Freddie telling me get on stage, comics saying get on stage, you're funny. I started doing a one-woman show. This was a year and a half after we broke up. He came to see me and he was like, you're doing stand-up, come on the road. So that's what I did. And then when I started getting booed off the stage with him, he let me go for a year. And then I started going to the store every night, going Laugh Factory, the Ha Ha, anywhere. Anybody that would have me, a coffee house. I can't think of the one in Westwood that I used to do all the time.
Bruco.
Oh, my God. That was my favorite because the audience would leave and come out. You know, it would be shifts.
Right.
Kind of because it was just people walking by and it was free. Ugh. Hardest fucking room ever. But I loved it. So I did it for a year and then Andrew invited me out again. But I had to prove myself to him. He did not just say, here, you can have this. He was like, you have to prove it because I got booed off the stage in fucking Westbury Music Fair. Do you know how great that is? That people hate you in the front, the side, and the back?
Oh, Jesus.
Booing, boo, because I said I was from Philadelphia. Boo, you suck, boo, boo. And I was like, fuck. And I had this cute little like half bra on, and I was sweating so bad, it slid down. So it looked like I had stomach tumors. And my sister Karen drove all the way up from Philly, 2.5 hours. And we like locked eyes at one point. And she looked at me like, what do you want to do? You want to fight this whole fucking room? I'll fight everybody in here. You know what I mean? Because she was pissed. Because she drove all the way. And the next night in Jersey at the State Theater, same thing. Now more of my family was there. My brother Johnny, Charlie, my sister Karen, Edie. They were like, we'll fuck it, fight everybody. But we, you know, that's what I had to deal with. And then I had to take off a year from Andrew and then work the real, like, hardcore circuit of going on 3-4 times a night and getting your fucking, seeing if this is really what you want to do. Because, and I did start late. And the one thing that I have, it's not about people trying to fuck me. They like to fuck me because they know my eggs are dead. There's no way I'm getting pregnant. You know what I mean? I'm 44 years old. It's fucking old, you know? I'll be 44 in August. That's crazy. That's an old lady pretty much to them. No, but in Hollywood, that's an ageist. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, oh, but I started late. I've been doing this 8 years now. I started late. So it was more like, I don't feel like, I mean, sometimes you get hit on, but at the same time, they're like, you know, well, she fucked dice. We can't top that. So they kind of don't get involved. But I think they're always like, oh, she's old. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't care. I don't. You can put any label you want on me. I'm still funny.
I'm 52.
I'm still funny.
I don't give a fuck if I'm old. I don't give a fuck what
they
think.
But I'm saying in Hollywood, they do that.
In Hollywood, absolutely.
They do that to you. Like, oh, I've killed on shows. Killed. And I remember this guy looking at me going, how old are you? And I go, what the fuck does that matter? I just fucking killed. I just destroyed. You want to put me on a show? There's a million fucking shows I could be on that. I can do it. It's like, I don't. They look at you like, oh, are you going to die this week? What's happening? You know, like, I don't know if it's my name or my age or what. Do I look like I had a hip replacement?
About 10 years ago at the store, Showtime did 9 comedy specials.
Showtime?
Showtime.
Wow.
And what they were Messina Baker. You ready for
another
piece?
Oh, my God. I remember that.
No, I'm not eating another piece of this.
Let's go for another piece.
No.
Yeah, a little piece because that was light.
But they were like one of the best.
Messina Baker was one of the best. So Messina Baker is behind the
I'm not doing this.
Yes, you got no choice. We're gonna split it.
He's cutting that nicely.
We're going deep.
He cuts it every week.
This is it.
I can't get over that. It looks like cranberries.
It's a star. It's a star of David. So Messina Baker was behind the comedy store. I've always liked Messina. He's behind the store and he's talking to somebody. Yeah. And I'm sitting there and I'm talking to a woman. I don't know who the fuck it was. We're talking comedy, and Messina Baker turns around and goes, you know, as far as I'm concerned, a woman in this town is dead. And he goes, to be honest with you, let's just go all around. He goes, a comic in this town is pretty much a woman's dead at 29, yep. And a guy is dead at 32. He goes, a guy died.
And they mean it.
Acting-wise?
No, stand-up-wise.
Really?
There's not much I could do with him. And I remember going home, and they were showcasing people every night. They showcased who's on the road with Gabriel now? Rick Gutierrez.
Oh, he helped me
and
a lot.
And he puked. He puked before he went up, and I brought him a towel. And I'll never forget that Messina came over and tried to help him. I go, can I talk to you for a second? I go, last night you made a fucking statement out there. And this is me. Like, I didn't give a fuck if he was Messina Baker. I know him a couple times. We talked. He said hello. He was from Long Island.
They were great guys, to be honest. I love both of them.
And I go, how can you make that statement last night? And he goes, what statement? I go, a guy is dead when he's 32, and a fucking woman is 26 and dead. I go, you see a girl was standing to? I don't know who it was.
Right,
it was somebody
still,
whose feelings got hurt.
Somebody...
And I go, number one, their feelings got hurt. Number two, how much money did you make off Tim Allen? He was no 32 when you got him here.
No.
And that fucking Drew Carey was an old man, too, when you got
him
here.
That's right.
You made a ton of money off fucking old guys. What are you talking about you made? Tim Allen was no fucking 32 when you signed him. Well, Tim, he was no fucking 32.
No.
Was no fucking 32. So for you to make that statement, and the next night he saw him and he goes, I thought about what you said.
Yeah.
You're right. Funny is funny at any fucking
funny
age. Look at this Betty White now. She's 100.
That's
and
right.
Now they're giving her every fucking award in the world.
Well, look
when
at
was
that.
The last time she made you laugh? 10 fucking years ago? It don't matter.
Yeah.
She's old and people reach out. Dice Clay is funny. Look at this other insult comic.
Dice is 57, I think.
That's
and he's
it.
Still fucking hilarious.
He's still fucking hilarious. Listen, these guys get better. You know, they
that's
call me
right.
from the
it's
Tempe
life
Improv.
Experience.
It's life. It's like anything else. Just because a person isn't selling tickets and he's irrelevant in your mind.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he's not improving and growing as an artist.
Yeah.
That's what these people don't like. Somebody called me the other night. We got to switch you. Because Dave Attell, I said, listen, man, I can't go down there. But the situation was that Dave Attell wasn't selling tickets and they were scared. And I go, I want you to think about that statement.
Yeah.
That I sell tickets and Dave Attell don't fucking sell tickets. That is just, he's a comic. He's a real comic. But because he's
favorites.
Not gentrified no more, because you guys passed on him and he sells 10 tickets a show. Bobby Slayton called me, by the way, the other day, had me howling. Another guy. These guys
funny.
Just get funnier. They get funnier. Just because you stop going to see him because you go see Anthony Jeselnik doesn't mean David Tell isn't getting
isn't
fucking funny.
Still the fucking funniest guy on the planet.
And I just say David Jeselnik. It could be you could go see Joe Diaz or Joe Rogan. Doesn't mean that fucking David Tell is not one of the funniest guys on the road today. But in people's mind, because, oh, well, he's not hot no more, whatever the fuck, however people judge it.
Whatever people say, it's gross.
It's closed. Eleanor, I saw it last night when I left. I was watching you. When they brought you up after, and I was in the back, I had to talk to the girl, and I watched, and I got in the car, and I go, that's amazing. A couple of years ago, she was a fucking waitress. And you got to play this hand more. And this is a hand that people do not know, and I didn't know about it. There's a thing in L.A. called being friends with people.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, what's the hottest show on television? That Empire.
I talked
to Eddie Velez the way I talked to you. He's the head writer on Empire.
Yeah.
I've known Eddie Velez. For 8 fucking years.
Yeah.
I knew Eddie Velez when he was fucking riding a bicycle. He was an assistant.
Right.
Eddie Velez has the hottest show on television as the head writer.
Yeah.
But 8 years ago, I used to talk to Eddie all the time when he was an assistant. We used to buy plane tickets for a fucking doctor. That's how we met.
That's hysterical.
Do you understand me? So right now, Eddie Velez has the hottest show. Let's say this year they write some, and they write a chubby fucking guy. And I go in there. People are going to go, fucking Joey Diaz, man. Whatever. I knew the guy. You ever be a kid and your father goes, you need a job? Go see that guy. He needs somebody at the funeral parlor.
Yeah.
Same thing happens in Hollywood.
That's true.
I came home before and the lady, Juana, was folding clothes in the living room and she was stuck on HBO and Grudge Match was on.
Yes.
And she goes, ooh, Jose, look, you're on TV. I didn't know you were in this movie. My son was watching this. And she goes, how did you get? And I'm looking at her going, if she knew that I knew the director. Like the director just called me. Who fucking? But then again, how many calls have I gotten for? Well, I shouldn't say bad movies. That was no Academy Award winner. But how many calls have I gotten for SAG low budgets because I knew the director?
Yeah.
Just yesterday,
everything
Monday.
You get is who you
know.
Yeah,
it's who you
much,
fucking know pretty much. So it's not when people say, "Oh, well, Jennifer Aniston got fucking nothing." Pisses me off when somebody says Jennifer Aniston got friends because of her father. Well. You know what? Jennifer Aniston covers the fucking spread.
She proves herself.
She proves the spread.
Time and
don't get me wrong. Rain Pryor is unproven. Yoko Ono's Sean, that worthless sack of shit. That's a sack of shit. He's never done nothing. You've never heard nothing Sean fucking Oko, whatever his name is, Sean Lennon did. And you'll never hear nothing. All those kids are rich people. Yeah, they're fucking worthless, okay?
Some of them.
You have some people that have the Michael Douglas is a fucking savage.
Yeah, that's right.
And you'll always be a fucking savage, okay?
There's Michael Douglas and then there's Eric Douglas.
You know, Gwyneth Paltrow is a savage.
Yeah.
You know, whether she's what's-her-name's mother or not. Gwyneth Paltrow has done some great fucking parts in movies. Why'd you
bring her up? I'm angry at her right now.
I fuck her with the food stamps. Why would you make that thing? Nobody can live off food stamps.
Food stamps and her vagina steaming.
Nobody can live off fucking food stamps for 40 fucking bucks a week. Only regular people.
She's retarded.
Who?
She doesn't even know what life's about.
No, they don't. None of them do.
They make shit up.
They make so much money that they focus on something else and they're so out of touch. And you cannot blame them for that.
Yeah.
It's not their fault.
Do you think it's because, like, everyone... Like, I've seen it. Like, I've been lucky enough to meet Joe Rogan. People, when they talk to him, and I see it with you, too, sometimes, they just... All they want to do is agree and be like, oh, yeah,
I think the same thing
you do, and you're the best. And that's great, but... When I hear an actor starting to get really have like a political message,
it's not because
I understand why Seth Rogen, his wife's mom has Alzheimer's, that's fine. But just like a random, like why is Angelina Jolie like a UN something to like.
But she does do a lot. I gotta stick up for her a little bit.
Okay, maybe she's a good one. I don't know much about Angelina.
She's a good person. She gives a lot. She doesn't necessarily stand there and say, you have to do this, this, and this.
Okay.
She goes out and literally like.
Well, isn't Bono annoying?
No, I can't even get off
Bono
him.
I thought Bono was bad. I don't know.
Well, I know it's like when
I see what you're saying. I get like Gwyneth Paltrow putting out a cookbook that no one can live by because no one can afford that stuff.
Wait, she put out a food stamp cookbook?
Something crazy
that like
that.
A Family Guy joke.
Also, her vagina steaming thing, it costs like $10,000 to get your vagina steamed.
Why do you want to get it steamed?
Maybe even more. She says that it takes all the toxins out of your body. I've been doing the ghetto version, Joe. I've been going to the gym and doing child's pose in the steam room.
These people
see
crazy.
If I can get
that
it
sounds
out.
Like a Family Guy joke.
Remember when you get sick?
It does.
Remember when you get sick as a kid? What do? You get the Puerto Rican. The Jews invented it.
Yeah.
You get a tub of water. You put some Vicks around that motherfucker. You open up that snatch. You put a towel over it. Dude. And you let that steamy Vicks get in there. That cleans everything out.
That takes
moose
all
juice,
the toxins
everything.
Out.
Everything. Moulinyan sperm.
Juice. Everything.
Anything that's on the fucking side.
She said it makes it smaller, too. So that's why I was trying it.
Nothing bothers me more when somebody goes, well, look at the Kim Kardashian diet, and somebody in Philadelphia, mom
That's
in Philadelphia, is looking at, first of all, you work 10 hours a day.
She was
By
built.
By the time you fucking get home, you can't even do a jumping jack.
That's right.
So now this lady here gets up at 10 in the morning with cucumbers on her eyes.
She's got 90 people pampering
90 people
her,
pampering
cooking
her.
For her.
She's got a lady who picks her up, brings her to the gym, and mm-hmm. stretches her out. You know, for the money she makes, she's got to have some.
She's got somebody who brushes her teeth and douches her
That's
and
a
has
difference.
Sensor on her
People
way.
Think that, oh, wow. You know, fucking Sean Penn. Sean Penn's a millionaire. He pays his personal trainer $400 an hour to come over and wake him up with Starbucks coffee,
That's right.
water, and a protein fucking shake.
Right.
And the best part is, even with all that, they still do Photoshop. None of the pictures you're seeing are actually what they look
exactly.
like.
Exactly. No one's going to look like that. That's what. But if you don't know that, that's crazy. I don't understand why. Like, it's like saying, well, I was going to say wrestling isn't real, but and that's true. Wrestling is
Where
real.
Where the fuck did we go?
I don't know what happened.
I don't know where we are, Joey.
A gummy bear, and I'm all over the
place. Oh, it's coming out of my pores right now.
Is that what it is? I can see it. It's cute.
I'm just really proud of you, Eleanor.
Thank you. I love that.
Like last night I went home, and I was sitting, I'm like,
Thank
you know, with
you so
all
much.
The fucking crying I hear in comedy, all the crying, all the... Well, this happened to you because of Joe Rogan. Really, like, he called...
This
he
happened
called
to
Adam
me.
Sandler.
I know. I get it all the
you
time.
Know, and people always have that... It's their way of saying they're inadequate, like they didn't want to put the work in.
Yeah.
Lee, what time do I call you every morning?
Before 8 a.m.
And already I've done 2 hours of fucking work.
But here's the thing, and that's true.
And smoked 4 bowls.
You work
All
harder.
The fucking time. I've always worked like this, even when I was on Blow.
So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what got you in the spotlight. You got you in the spotlight. Because if you weren't funny on what Joe Rogan's podcast or whatever they want to say, you wouldn't have stood out. Joe Rogan and I sat and talked about how you're the funniest person in the entire world. Like, he can't get over it. Like, it freaks him out. He's like, Joe Diaz is the funniest person I ever met in my life. Hands down, no matter what.
When we talk on the phone, it's crazy.
Yeah.
There's
I mean,
the
he's just a George. I mean, and
does any part of you think about like not working with Dice anymore for a little bit?
I hate that fucker. I want to get away from him. I'm kidding. No, I love. No, you. I'll tell you what I want though. I want to go on my own. I do. I want to start headlining because I have a couple of headlining gigs coming up. And Andrew says that he's like, "That's your next step. You gotta go.
Yeah, that's
like
it. This
you
is,
gotta get out." And like, he's had some amazing people open for him, like Norton. Sebastian, they opened for him for years. Eddie Griffin, I mean, of course, I'm going way back, but he
me and Bobby Lee and Norton, the bad boys of comedy in Las
you
Vegas.
Did, oh my God, remember that? Wait, Bobby Lee was on? I don't remember
we
that.
Did, Bob, we did that. We did a couple different cities.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
Riviera.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
He said some shit. And it's funny, when I left you last night, I was thinking about Dice. And I'm thinking about responsibility as a comedian. You know, you have this responsibility. You have responsibility mm-hmm. to yourself to write and to get on stage and to take care of yourself. And then as you progress, you also have a responsibility to help other guys. Like just
yeah.
a word or, you know, encourage somebody who was at the same point of you, maybe thinking of quitting. And that's the other responsibilities you have as a comic. You know, do you know how big Andrew Dice Clay's contribution is to comedy?
Oh, my God.
Kennison, Dangerfield. Because not only did they make you laugh, they also made people change their own lives.
That's right.
When I got out of prison and I fucking went to Manny Tomino's house, and he goes, I got to show you this guy. And he put in Dice's tape. My head almost blew
That's
up.
Amazing.
Like, I fucking left there like furious. I'm like, this guy's thinking what I'm thinking.
Right.
Like it was fucking scary.
Yeah.
And I was in the halfway house. When you got out of prison, they put you in the halfway house. And I failed and they put me back. And for New Year's, I spent in the halfway house, and I put Dice's tape in. And 8 gorillas watched it. And we were howling. We watched it 3 times till 4 in the morning straight, sober, drinking fucking sodas and eating potato chips. And I remember that I said, you know, I got to try this because of what this guy does, you know?
Yeah.
And I know for a fact, for 2 years, every time I went upstage, I was like, what would Dice do? And, you know, and then I got to the store, and there he is.
Just hanging out.
And one night he had Scott up there. Like, I had never talked to him. The first time I saw Andrew at the store, I was a little intimidated, and I go, you know what? He was with his fucking cousin.
Oh, yeah,
with
Jamie.
The glasses.
Yeah.
He's not around no more.
No, he moved back to New York. Or Nashville, somewhere.
And I didn't say nothing to him. And then one night, he was up there with Scott Day at about 11:45, 12 o'clock. What the fuck is Andrew doing up here at this time? And he wasn't going up. They were up there to watch Luca and Mike Marino.
Oh, okay.
Because
there was
he wanted to make a point. He was saying, he's doing me.
Oh.
Get rid of him. So Andrew's point was Luca and fucking Mike Marino are fucking doing me, man.
Yeah.
So he had Scott, and it's just us. He has Scott Day. I'd never spoken to Dice. He's got Scott Day, and he's yelling at Scott Day. Scott Day was a talent coordinator at the time.
Yes, yes.
He's now in Bangkok molesting young boys.
We miss you, Scott Day.
I love him, Scott Day.
Scott Day is what Freddie Soto used to call him. He hits me once a year
telling me how much he hates Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
I love him. He hates Joe Rogan.
Why?
He wants to beat him up and everything.
I'll fight Joe Rogan. But, I wrestled Joe a little bit last
time. But he was saying how, what the fuck are we talking about? Scott Day. So Andrew was yelling. Like, Andrew was pissed.
Yeah.
And I had my Coke was in my pocket. I was still a little sober. And I said, I'm going to raise my hand before anything gets ugly here. And I go, excuse me, Andrew, Mr. Clay, I don't mean to butt in, Scott. I go, they're not doing you, Andrew.
They're emulating
you until they get their own voice. Well, that's not fucking right. And who the fuck are you? Who told you you could butt it? I go, Andrew, I'm not being a dick here.
Yeah.
I did you for 2 years. And now I've been doing comedy for 7, and I don't do you no more. We don't do your jokes.
Yeah.
We do you until we realize who we are. And some women do Lucille Ball. Some women do Ellen until they realize who you are. You know, when we got to the store, everybody would pull me aside. I hate Joe Rogan. He does Kennison. He's not doing fucking Kennison.
Yeah.
He got inspired by Kennison. So you see it. When you listen to Soundgarden blow up the outside world, you go, that's a great song, but it's the Beatles. He got inspired by the fucking Beatles.
Right.
I heard TLC last week. They listened to the fucking Beatles, obviously. And they were 3 black girls from fucking Atlanta.
Yeah.
When you're influenced by somebody, it comes out in your art.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. You go, oh, shit. When you go to jiu-jitsu and you learn a move, and the guy goes, no, put your elbow down by his head when you do the Kimura. That's his little trick.
Yeah.
So now when people see you do it, they go, oh, no, it works better for you.
Yeah.
And Andrew turned his back on me, walked away with Scott Day, and 2 days later my phone rang, and it was Andrew saying, listen,
right.
What you said to me, I thought about it. So we all fucking emulate somebody.
Exactly.
You know?
Wait, I'm thinking of one time we were in the hallway, and Brian Holtzman, it was during the OJ trials. What was that lady's name? Marsha? She was a district attorney.
Right, Marsha, whatever.
Marsha something, whatever. So Andrew was doing a joke about her, and so was Holtzman. And it was very similar, but it was different. You know, it was Holtzman's take, and it was Dice's take. And Andrew confronted him. And he was like, you know, Brian, I'm doing that joke. You know, we're doing the same joke. And Brian goes, hey, man, sometimes we just overlap. He walked away. And Andrew was just standing there dumbfounded. And he was like, he's fucking right. He goes, you know what? You're right. Sometimes we just overlap.
Are you the only person to call him Andrew?
I'm sorry, Dice.
I've always heard Dice Clay. And it's like just sounds like Andrew.
Andrew, it was just his face was so great. But sometimes when somebody really stands up to him and isn't a yes, yes, yes man, like Lee was saying, how people just agree with you.
He loves him.
They become, okay, that person's real. That person's not going to just finger bang me because they like my leather jacket or whatever. They want to open for me or they want something from me. They tell the truth. And Holtzman is the epitome of that. So he was, hey, we just overlap. And that was it. He walked away.
He walked away.
Like, no, it was so great. But it's that happens. And you're right. People. My favorite comic in the whole world to watch at the store was Judy Gold. I can never get enough of Judy Gold. I would listen to it on a loop. If I had a full tray of drinks and Judy Gold was on, I'd stand there and let the ice melt. I didn't give a shit. I watched Judy Gold. She was my favorite to watch at the store all the years. And so I think when I first started, I was kind of, because my favorite thing about her is she's so fucking aggressive and she just says whatever. And I was like that, I think, in the beginning. I think I did Judy, if you will. But then, you know, I never like did her jokes. But I do see what Andrew's saying with the leather jacket. But that's an East Coast thing. So he does a little bit too much think every, you know, like, oh, he's doing me. And it's not that he's doing you. I mean, what's the Jimmy and Joey? Remember them?
Yeah.
They were going, oh, and Andrew made them stop doing it. It was like one of the best nights at the store. Because you know how they go, oh, at the end of the joke, and Andrew's, you're doing me. You can't stop it. So then they would go up and they'd be like, they do their joke and they couldn't tag it with the O, so they just kind of awkwardly look at each other.
Jimmy and Joey, it's an Italian comedy group. They've been around in life for 20 years. Jimmy's the same, but they've gone through 19 Joeys.
They've gone through 19 Joeys.
The original Joey was his real brother.
Right.
And he quit. When your brother quits the band, you know you got a fucking problem.
They had a fight, and that was it. There was one time it was on Craigslist. He was looking for a Joey.
Oh, my God.
And we wanted to submit Dom, Irera, and Dice, like, to actually go in and audition.
Wait, is it scripted?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. The jokes are the same.
No.
Yes, it's the same act.
They're doing it up here. They do it up here.
It's the same act.
They do it at Vinzano's. You know, over by.
We should go.
No.
Yeah, see what it
I'm
is
always
now.
Out of town.
Well, what happened with the last time I saw them at the store?
You're constantly out of town.
Dom Irera went up with Mike Favorman, and they were the Oi brothers. They did the Jewish version of them. Because you know how that goes, meatballs. And so those two were like, matzo balls. Like, just those two.
Meatballs. Remember Jim? What was the kid who died? God bless his soul. Fat James.
Oh, Fat James.
He
yeah,
was
yeah.
Jimmy and Joy for
he
a
was
while.
One.
Jimmy Della Valla. Vinny Lightbulbs. Vinny Coppola. His father was an electric company.
What are you talking about?
Vinny Lightbulbs.
Vinny Lightbulbs.
That's the worst greatest name
that's the
I've
worst
ever
mob name I've ever heard.
His real name is Vinny. No, his name is Vinny Coppola. But his father owns an electrical company, so I used to call him Vinny Lightbulbs.
I feel like I did a show with him, that name.
Yeah, really nice guy. Looks like Al Pacino and Godfather, too.
Yeah, sometimes I remember like a new guy would come in with Jimmy and I, or Joey, whichever one.
That's him.
Joe.
Real good looking.
I would
dude,
think,
Vinny Lightbulbs.
Oh, no. He's going to be a Joey or Jimmy, whichever one.
That sounds like it'd be terrible to go to sober, but being high, I think I'd have the
they
best
do
time.
It? They do it at Vittorio's.
It was
Italian
some Italian
restaurant,
yeah.
They were doing it at Rocco's for a while.
He told me I couldn't do it because I was too dirty. So I told him to go fuck himself.
Did he really?
Yeah. I was like, what are you talking about, dirty? You got to be clean. I go, okay, then tell me it's clean. I could do a clean show. I'm not an asshole. I know what I'm doing. I had to do a clean show for Harry Basil last week. I wanted to kill myself 2 weeks ago at the Laugh Factory.
So he makes you work clean?
No. Me and Dom were doing the Laugh Factory and Frasier. So we were at the Tropicana is where the Laugh Factory is in Vegas. So we're there and he goes, hey, there's this show during the day. It'll help. It's a radio thing. It'll help promote, you know, the night show. But you got to be clean. It's a 5-minute set. We didn't have to be clean for Harry's show, for the Laugh Factory, but we had to be clean on this. I go there, and it's at the South Point Casino, 400 people. I'm like, wow, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 400 people. That's crazy. Where are you going to get 200 people 4 o'clock in the afternoon? Well, I figured out where they're going to fucking get them. They were wheeling them in. They all had oxygen. The youngest one was dead. Like, it was awful. Like, I mean, it was so everybody. It was all blue hairs. Like, I never...
Who did the show with you?
It was a guy named Dennis Bono, something like that. And he sang a Frank Sinatra song in the beginning. He had a big band behind him.
Oh, God.
I wanted to... I was on the phone with my boyfriend outside. I go, babe, I can't go in there. I can't do this. There's no way I can do this. I can be clean, but this is crazy. They might not even be able to hear me. Like, these people are dead. They have fucking oxygen. What do I do? And he's like, oh, I wouldn't do it if I were you. And then he's like trying to come up with bits that they can relate to. He's like, talk about going to the doctor. And I wound up just doing shit about my dad's typewriter store and they loved it. But 5 minutes, I was sweating. That was a hard one. I said, why does Harry Basil hate me?
Those are the worst when you're doing your set and it ain't going your way. And you feel that one drop of sweat come out of your head and roll down the back of your head, and you know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You feel the heat going up to your cheeks. Your body warmth triples.
Yeah.
You feel like moisture coming on your armpits. Your nutsack gets sweaty as fuck. Nothing like having a fucking bad set.
That's how I feel right now.
When but you get you that sweat.
Then you breathe.
You get
right
that sweat in the fake cleavage that I fucking make the for the
cleavage.
Show.
Let me give some shout outs right real here. Quick. Move us along here. Jim Jorgensen in New Jersey. I love you, cocksucker. Go to Vinny's and tell him who fucking sent you. Hamil Haddad, keep doing what you're doing.
You love Hamil?
I love Hamil. Hamil's my fucking main terrorist.
Yes.
Laya Hernandez, you sexy bitch down there in South Texas. The Stoner's Guide, I'm watching you in San Diego. Heidi Gelkis Young, I'll see you this weekend in Tempe. D in Colorado, you bad motherfucker. I got to tell you what happened the other day. I went to my fucking mailbox for the first time in like 6 months. Dwayne and Teresa Satterwhite sent my daughter a Church of What's Happening Now tutu.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
With the fucking headpiece and everything with the cross on the front. It is beautiful. I just want to thank Dwayne and Teresa Satterwhite and Layla's loftboutique.com. They got beautiful tutu dresses. She makes them handmade.
You got to take a picture of it.
Oh, I'm going to take a picture and put her up. I also got some kettlebell cards, some Vector kettlebells that were fucking tremendous.
I love kettlebells.
What else? I got John Cutler sent me a beautiful Celia Cruz CD. I mean, it's amazing the shit I get in the mail. So thank you all. I still got to talk to my people over at Access, the Roach Clip of the Stars. This is fucking tremendous, this thing. it is. It really is. It's a Roach Clip, but the whole thing.
It's really intense. Oh, it's like gold.
Yeah, I got to learn how to work it correctly, but I'll learn. Look at this shit. It comes with the whole thing. You got to push it, and then it has the tube, and you go like this, and I don't fucking know. But anyway, I got to figure it out. That's why.
But the issue is you're going to have to plan, because you don't usually leave roaches.
I know. You gave away that bag of roaches. I left.
You told me to give them away.
I didn't fucking tell you nothing.
I don't think I gave them away. Oh, they were just like, it was like a film
Access
canister.
Access 2000. Look at this thing. Oh, shit. Oh, that's how it does. This is fucking tremendous. Here, go to Access, go to theaxis2000.com and take a look at this device. This is pretty fucking neat.
It's a roach clip, like an old school?
Yeah, like old school with the gold tip. They ain't fucking around. The future of marijuana.
We should have had it when we were doing it at my house, because that's when you had it. You would smoke like three or four joints.
Now.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. He smoked like three or four joints per podcast, and he had a pill canister filled to the brim, like, I had to squish it down and close it of just roaches. And I think I threw them away when I moved.
Oh, it was so stinky.
Oh, so the roach you can't smoke? Don't you eat it?
No, you can't. It's hard to grab. That's
Did I just
clip.
Go old school on you?
No, I would eat a roach all the time. Lee won't eat it with the ashes and shit, but I give him chocolate.
What are you talking about? You eat your roaches?
Do you get high from that?
Eating the roaches?
Yeah.
I think if you eat like 55 of them, you might get fucking high, but in the old days, I don't know.
You know the trash cans exist, right? You could throw your gum and your roaches away.
I thought it was like a thing. I thought it was like an extra kick because my friends would do that. Oh, I got to eat the roach. I got to eat the roach. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I would never eat the butt of my cigarette.
Oh.
You know what I mean? What
I'm going to throw up.
You want another piece of edible?
No.
You need a piece, cocksucker.
You need a piece because your eyes are still almost open.
Your eyes
open.
Are still open. You want another little piece? Let's do it, Lee.
No, I'm going to die.
Yeah, I'm going to die.
We've already 6,000 milligrams.
Another one. We had to open another one.
We had to open up another one. Who runs like that? Only the Church of What's Happening Now,
oh
bitches.
God.
Running deep in shit, you bad motherfuckers.
I love it.
Look at the flying Jew. He's rubbing his one eyeball. He's going to end up like my buddy, the one-eyed Jew. The one-eyed Jew.
You have a one-eyed Jew friend?
A friend, yeah. He grows weed and hash, and he makes it. He smuggles it, and he told me he smokes some hash, and his eyeball popped out. So now he just took it out, and he has an eye patch. Fuck, that's how high he is, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. What's this blue show about on Saturday?
The blue show is about, Dice Presents kind of thing. And he hosts and he puts five comics on.
Like what Ronnie did for him
30
years ago.
Basically is what he wants to give back. And I did get a little choked up the other day because I read an article he did. And he, in the headline it said, I want the world to know who Eleanor Kerrigan is. So I was like, oh my God. And I mean, because it was exciting, because Jason Roush is on it. He's a terrific comic. I don't know if you know him. Eric Myers is one of my favorite up-and-coming comics. And then there's Steve Wilson, who's a great comic. He's been around for a while.
The Bang Brothers, Chad.
Corey and Chad, Corey who are terrific. Chad. I just did their naughty show, dirty
fucking
show.
Great. They
I fucking
do a great
love
job.
That show. And yeah, we had a blast. I did it last Wednesday. I love what they told the audience. They were like, just steal Showtime. Just order it and then cancel it. Order it on Thursday, cancel it on Monday, which is a great idea. But those two killed. And then Wheels, Parisi. And oh, and the good looking guy, Colin Kane. He also, he's been around. He was hot for like a, I remember he did a show at the store in the main room. I had no idea who he was. And I was like, oh, they said, oh, the main room sold out tonight, you know, because I went to park my car to do a show in the OR. And as I get there, like, it was packed. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Demi Moore, everybody came to see this guy. He's real hot, Colin Kane. And he sold out the fucking main rooms. I didn't even know who he was. That's how big comedy, you know, I don't know who, we don't know who everybody
you don't know.
Is.
You don't
yet.
Know.
And he did great. He's a nice looking kid. He's a nice guy. And he's pretty like aggressive on stage, kind of filthy. And somebody said, oh, he's doing Dice, you know, 30 years ago. Cause he like kind of is real offensive, but it's not, it's different. And he's on it too. He's great.
And there's this Saturday.
Yeah.
Are you proud?
Friday.
I
am proud. I'm the only chick, kind of, you know, I have bigger balls than most of those guys, but it's five comics and me, and I'm excited. I just excluded myself from it. I don't know why, but I'm really excited. It airs Friday night, 11 o'clock on Showtime.
Yeah. Is it your first time on TV?
Second, first time nobody noticed. That was Stand Up in Stilettos. I'm surprised you guys didn't know that. And on the TV Guide Network. But you had to be clean for that. And you had to write the whole set out. You ever have to do that?
Oh, please.
That's the worst.
That's impossible.
Dude, that was the worst.
It's the worst.
Do you know Jeff Singer?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I love Jeff Singer. I showcased because I got cocky the first 2 years. So I had my friend Stacey Mark over at William Morris call and get me in for a showcase for Montreal.
Stacey Mark is still around.
Oh, my God. She's like the VP at William Morris Comedy Department.
Oh, that's right. Stacey Mark
she's
is,
the
Joe's,
top.
Is Joe's...
Yeah, sure. Joe
that's
Rogan's
right,
agent.
That's
yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Joe's one of her favorite clients. Sells the most tickets and the least. He's not a bitch. You know what I mean? She loves Joe Rogan. So anyway, so she got me an audition for Montreal. 2 years in, the nerve of me. But I did really well. And everyone from the showcase remembers me. So Jeff Singer, I just didn't get to Montreal. But Jeff Singer called me up 2 years later and said, hey, you'd be good for this Stand-Up in Stilettos. Why don't you submit your stuff? You have to write it all out. But I met him through the showcase. Rachel Roush was also a judge or whatever. And now she's an agent at ICM. And so... I did it. He called me. I had to write everything out. It was the fucking scariest thing. Because you can't say, like, if I had a joke with tit in it, you had to change it to boob or whatever the political, you know, those seven words you can't say on television kind of bullshit. And, oh, my God. The first I sent it, I was sweating. I was at a FedEx all night. Because, you know, I don't know. I grew up in a typewriter store. I don't know what the fuck's happening. So I'm in a FedEx store all night. I must have spent $100 of all the money I was making with Dice in Vegas that weekend just to type it up, scan it, and send it to Jeff. And then he'd send it back telling me what I had to correct. And then thank God there wasn't a lot of corrections. But I did really well. And but I got a little bit cut off in editing. So some of the jokes, that's a problem when you do TV and a short set. You can get, you're like, oh, I killed. And then they're like, oh, we needed more time. So we cut that punchline and then the joke doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? So that tape isn't my favorite, but I use it still a little bit of it because they did cut out a couple things. But I had a good set and it was a great experience. That was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And now this, but this is just me being me. Which I love. I curse. It's dirty. I talk about vegans. I fucking hate vegans. It feels great. It feels great.
It feels good to
it
be
feels
a gangster.
Feels fucking great to be a gangster. I feel like a kid again. Like I'm on my own street gang. I got my corner jacket on. 12th and Wolf. You know what I mean?
You know, nobody knows when you've just had a great set and you've been doing it for 3 or 4 years and things aren't going your way in your life. And
yeah.
You're not really broke, but you are broke.
Mm-hmm.
But you really want something. Like, just to want it.
Yeah.
There's nothing like the want. Like, you had that want when you were a child. Like, I want this. And nothing. I had nothing like that as an adult except for cocaine. I wanted cocaine. But then when I got into comedy, you just want to be so good.
Yeah.
So fast. And you have all these disappointments throughout the way. You have 200 fucking disappointments before you even feel good about yourself. That's tough skin.
Oh, yeah.
See, and right there in that development right there, if a guy wants to hit on you, that ain't nothing. Because you've been told no from agencies. Like all those names you mentioned. Stacey Mark, nice lady. She fucking hates me.
She's one of my favorite people in the world.
She fucking
hates me. Oh, your stand-up or your person?
I think the whole package. Rachel Rouse fucking hates me from A to Z. It's hysterical.
Like, every one of them were so nice to me.
These are the comedy people that run this town, and they fucking hate me. Rachel Rouse, every time she sees me, she just turns her back.
Let me tell you, ladies, get your shit together, because this is the fucking man right here, Joe Diaz. That's crazy if they hate you.
Oh, it's just, and I don't, listen, I am in this bubble right now that I love. I do comedy. I go on the road. I'm happy. I don't, you know. They want to give me work, they give me work. If they don't, it doesn't matter. I've been here for 20 years. Just the point that I survived.
Yeah.
When I came here with all the no's, because there was only one person who dug me, and her name was Mitzi Shaw.
Yeah.
And that's all that mattered to me at that time. She got it.
She
got it from the beginning, where everybody else threw everything else in to tell you no. Oh, no, he does coke. He's too old. He's too fat. But you didn't say he wasn't funny. You didn't say that. You didn't say he couldn't act.
That's right.
You didn't say none of that. You threw everything else in, which I understand. We'll just shake hands and part friends, and you never really have to deal with me. And I get that. But it's just so weird when you do have, like, when you do book a Marin, and the guy from IFC comes up to you at a show and says, bro, I watched a lot of, and that was great. I can't believe people don't know who the fuck you, you know. That makes you feel good. And I can't imagine how this blue show makes you feel.
I wished it went the way we wanted it in the beginning. Everybody we wanted on there was on it. But, you know, you have to deal with some shit, and that's just how it goes. But you know what? If it goes well, if it generates good heat, he wants to do more. So, and that's other comics getting opportunity to be themselves, because not a lot of us fit into the cookie cutter things that you're talking about like that. I don't think I'd ever be on Comedy Central in just because I don't think they put me on Comedy Central because A, I'm elderly considering, you know, according to their bullshit.
Right.
But it doesn't mean what they have on there shitty either. Amy Schumer's one of my favorite comics. Her show's great. She fucking hits everything. I love her. You can't get any better than that. And she puts all her favorite comics on there, like the Nortons and the Attells. All of them are on that. Like, she puts them on her the Inside Amy Schumer. I couldn't think of it. But yeah, so that I love. Comedy Central does take certain chances, but they wouldn't with me. And I don't think they would with you either.
No,
I would never get an hour. And I don't care either.
You move on.
I am going to do an hour, and I'll
with
put
them
it
without
on
with. Yeah,
wherever
gonna,
the fuck I want to
you know
put
what?
It.
In this career, you're going to do 90 hours.
Yeah.
It's going to be with them or without them.
That's
so
right.
They either sign on, or you're going to do whatever the fuck you do.
Because I am doing an hour, and Dice is going to produce it.
Are you?
Yeah. Because they offered it at Showtime. The guy said, let's do an hour with her.
The little Arab dude.
Well, actually, it was Montoya. But he was like, you know, everybody loves her.
They
so
had this little Arab dude at Showtime. I did a movie for him. Montoya offered
Is it
me
Gary Garfunkel?
No, it's a little guy.
Because we also have a show. Dice sold a show to Showtime straight to series. And it's kind of about, we were going to do it as a reality show, but then we wanted to do it like a hybrid, like a scripted. And we used to pitch it together. And then Scott Armstrong came on board, who did like Old School and Hangover. So he was like, let me fix this. And so he did with the same idea and the same shit that Dice wanted. And it went right to series. So it's 6 episodes on Showtime. So Showtime's like big in our corner, if you will.
So now
everything changed. So I might have to audition for the part that I kind of
created,
you fuckers.
You
but
to.
You know what? I will.
That's even better.
I will,
no,
and I'll get
to.
That
you have
fucking
to go
part.
In. You have to.
Yeah.
People do that just so they're safe, and I get it. You know,
and that's
you gotta
cool.
Do it.
Because Scott Armstrong's the real deal. The other guys that are writing it, the first brother, Sean First, and his brother are fucking amazing. So I will show. I'll do flips. I'll do whatever they need me to do. I'll do head, whatever. Oh, that came out wrong.
Whatever.
You know what I mean?
Last night I had a good set at the
Laugh Factory. You killed.
And as I looked to the left-hand side, the first person that was there to say hello was you.
Yeah.
And that was the last topic we want to touch on. You know, you're a fan of Ari's. You're a fan of mine. We're fans of yours.
Yeah, we've all been, I love it.
We've all been part of a family for 20 years almost. Yeah. And I think one of the basic things in growing as a comic is cheering your friends on. You know where Ari
Absolutely.
Is right now?
Absolutely.
Ari's shooting a fucking movie in Atlanta. With
really?
What's his name?
I don't know.
What's
I don't. I'm so
what's,
happy.
Hangover.
Oh, Zach Galifianakis.
Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, Zach.
And the dude from Mad Men.
John Hamm.
So last night I had a spot at 8:30, uh-huh. and I had a spot at 10:45.
Right.
And I.
Can people know that?
I had a spot. I had a spot at 8:30.
Oh no, about Ari.
Shut up.
Okay.
So I. Went over to kill time. I didn't want to go to the store at 9:00. I walked out of Laugh Factory at 9:04.
Yeah.
And I got in the car and I went down Crescent Heights. I went up Fountain and the phone rang. It was Ari and I pulled over like, what's up? I hear you're in Atlanta, right? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, I just want to tell you something. He goes, I went on this set today. And he goes, you know what the first thing I thought of? He goes, it didn't work today. He just went on to get wardrobe and get a haircut and he trimmed his beard.
Got it.
And he said, he goes, I thought about when I came to see you on the set of Longest Yard, and you got me the pastrami sandwich, and we went over and talked to whatever, how cool you were to me. And, man, I want to thank you 10 years later, because it is exactly 10 years.
Wow.
So we've all, listen, man, to grow as a human being, to grow as a comic, you know, I always say that if you walk past a piece of paper and you don't pick it up, you got no character. Like, nobody's watching it. That's when you, character's what you do and nobody's watching.
That's right.
You know? And with a comic, your character has to be big. I improved as a comic when I started working out and taking care of myself. Believe it or not.
Yeah.
Just going to the gym and watching what to eat. And you know what? I don't need to watch Sons of Anarchy till 2 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me go to sleep at 11 and get up at 6 and read this. And that part of being a good comic, you know, writing is part of being a good comic. Getting on stage is part of being a good comic. But you know what the biggest part of being a great comic is? You know what the difference between good comics and great comics are? That they really have happiness in their hearts for the people around them, you know?
Because it's not easy to be happy.
There's a lot of motherfuckers. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, Lee is my witness. There's a lot of motherfuckers I don't like. And I wish they get hit by a fucking train.
There's a lot
of motherfuckers that I, the motherfuckers that I do like, that I breathe for.
That you're happy
You know, it's
for.
Funny. I already had a situation a couple of weeks ago where people were attacking him,
you know?
And I got a couple calls in my house. Let me just tell
I got
you,
a million calls.
Let me just tell you guys where my head is at. I'm going to tell you to your face. I'm going to tell you to your fucking face. Nobody in my planet could come to me and tell me something about Lee. Do you know what that means? That I don't give a fuck. You want to complain to Lee? Throw a beating on Lee. But don't you ever come to me and tell me about Lee. Same thing when it comes to Eleanor.
Yeah.
Don't come to me and tell me about Eleanor. You know, for years, people come to me and tell me what Rogan did over the weekend. And, when, you know, Tommy, that cunt Caparulo, would come to me all the time and tell me when Joe comes back, he's not. And I would say to him, you know, first off, you tell me again, I'm going to smack both of you. Don't come to me and tell me about my fucking friends.
Right.
Don't you ever come to me. When I was a kid, I was a fucking criminal, Eleanor. And I would, like, borrow. Like, I'd go up to Eleanor at a bar that hung out with Dice and Wheels, and they all hung out at the Comedy Store. I'd go up to Eleanor and go, Eleanor, I want a kilo of Coke, and I wouldn't pay you.
Yeah.
And the next day, you'd say, he's coming to the store. You go to the store, and Joey wouldn't be there. So who would you go to? Lee, and go, what the fuck is your punk-ass friend?
Right.
And my friends used to say, number one, you watch how you talk about him. I don't care what the fuck went down.
Yeah.
And number two, don't come and talk to me about my fucking friends. Mm-hmm. Don't you ever come and disrespect me about my friends. Go tell them. I don't give a
just
fuck.
Just go right to the
because
source.
In my world, Lee, you don't do nothing wrong.
Right.
I don't give a fuck if a chick is about to die,
you're on
pregnant,
the side.
You kick her in the fucking stomach and she dies on aborts. In my world, you did nothing wrong. And that's the way, that's how I was raised. When you got friends, they don't do nothing wrong. When you live and die for a motherfucker, because there's a big difference between acquaintances and a friend and your brother.
God damn
big
right.
difference.
Yeah.
Big difference. I'm talking about my brothers. Well, since I've been 20, nobody could come up to me and tell me a story about my brothers. Not any time in my life. They're my brothers, and I love them, and my sisters. Listen, you're barking up the wrong tree. I don't give a fuck if they shot your mother in the head point-blank range. In my eyes, my friends don't do nothing wrong. So take your fucking magic elsewhere.
Right.
So when I see you doing what you're doing, when I see Ari in the movies, dog, That's my dick awesome. Gets hard. And yeah. That's what people don't understand. To be a great, great comic, you got to be happy for your friends. You got to sincerely be fucking happy when they make a positive move. Me and Lee talk about 10,000 stiffs that get opportunities, and we say how they're going to fail. They're fucking douchebags because they're douchebags. That's how they're thinking about when me and Lee started a podcast. I know them.
Yeah.
You know, when I went to the, when I left the store, it wasn't, I didn't leave the store because I left the store because I had neck surgery.
Yeah.
And they took a fucking ball out. I'm Cuban, number one. I'm superstitious. They took a fat ball out. And when the doctor said to me, you want to see it? And he showed it to me, first thing I thought about was the store. You know what I thought about? When you get off stage and you have a good set, and there's comics that come up to you and they give you a hug and they go, what's up? But there's motherfuckers that come up to you and you can see as the words are coming out of their mouth, it pains them to say it. And as you say, thank you, man, they go, that joke, we loved it. And you turn away, they go, he's probably on fucking coke, that piece of shit. You know that. You know what comics do that, and you know what comics are really happy for you.
Yeah.
And when I saw that fat ball, that's all I thought about. That fat ball was all the negativity on my back. I'm never going to the store again. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Once I saw that fat ball, I'm like, that's the fucking store. That's that
negative.
That people looking at you going, ha, 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 that's a great joke, Joey.
There's so many fuck phony him. Fucks.
If it wasn't for fucking Rogan or Dice, that motherfucker would be nowhere.
Yeah. Both,
you know, so I got to tell you, and I told my wife last night, and I told my wife this morning, I'm having Eleanor on. I'm very fucking proud of it because
you
were slinging drinks.
Me and Terry.
And I'm sure that when you told people going to be comics, they looked at you and said, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and look at you now.
Mitzi first.
Now you're on fucking Showtime. Mitzi first.
She was like, oh, no.
Oh,
that's what she said. But I showcased for her and I didn't bomb and she liked it.
She passed you?
No. Tommy did technically, but she stopped coming in. That's why. Because, you know, I didn't start this till 2007. I just hit 8 years, February.
February so, what?
I want to say, like, around the 12th. I have to look it up, but it's something like... I still have the paper from Adam Barnhart's room in the belly room. He used to hook me up a lot. Remember Adam Barnhart? He's still every Sunday night.
Good guy.
Every Sunday
clean
night
sober?
He's in there. Clean sober. He also had a class. So he let me take the class, and he knew I was broke, so he let me take that class for free. And it was like stage time. And everybody else in the class paid, and I used to feel so guilty because I didn't, you know, so I would help him with his music or whatever the fuck he wanted. If he wanted free drinks at the store, I could get you that. I still have shift drinks I haven't drank. 12 years on the fucking job. You know what I mean? So I got like 7,000 drinks left, I think. And, so I would get him whatever he wanted, waters, anything he needed at the store, you know. And Mitzi, you know, said he never gets to, because he's such a good guy.
He's
so
very
she's
good
like,
guy.
Just leave him, leave his show alone. And he does team up with other producers and try to fill that room. But for the most part, every Sunday night he's
every
there.
Every Sunday?
His
what time?
I think it's 8, 8 to 10.
And I'm going to go see him and give him a big fucking hug.
Oh, he's the fucking greatest guy. He's the greatest.
He was a great fucking
guy.
He
helped me so much. And when I had to go on the road with Dice, I was only doing stand-up 3 months. And I did that. I got booed off the stage. He helped me with that first 8 minutes big time
in his class. He knows. He's a coach. He knows really well.
He's so
good. He used to give
me
some great hugs. People used to say, well, you let that gay guy hug you like
that.
Oh,
he's the fucking funniest.
Fuck you guys.
He's the best.
He's fucking gay balls. That motherfucker will fight. He don't give a fuck. That dude will fight you. He'll stab you. I love Adam Barnhart.
That's my boy right
I wanna
there.
I want to go see
man.
Him. I didn't even know he was back at the store.
He's been there. He's never every Sunday night he's there. And he also, like, he helps people in halfway houses and stuff.
Right, right, right.
He does
big.
A lot.
He's big.
He does
he's
a lot, lot,
community.
Lot.
He went down there. He went down hard. He was on that meth for a while. But
oh, yeah. Him and his brother. How fucking weird is that? How weird is that? And they're both gay. And my favorite joke is how he tells his father that because he fights with his dad because both of his sons are gay. He's like, your balls are like the gay factory. You know, I'm not doing it perfect, but the way Adam does it, it's like the Willy Wonka gay factory you got in your balls. You're shooting out faggots. And he does this whole thing. It's the best. He's so funny.
How are you over there today, my brother?
Lee, are you
I'm
all right?
I'm great. Oh, yeah.
There's a good high today, huh? It's a smooth.
I mean, they're all fun. I mean, there's never a bad one.
We'll smoke some hash now and get you cooking with gas, cocksucker.
I'm cooking with gas.
This weekend, I will be at the Tempe Improv starting tomorrow night with my man, D'Agostino. Eleanor will be at...
I will be at... The Hard Rock Hotel, Las Vegas.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Or
Thursday,
Friday,
Saturday, Sunday.
Sunday, okay.
Yeah, and then also Dice's kids are there playing in their killer band, L.A. Right. Rocks. You guys got to start some, play some L.A. Rocks.
I saw them on Conan, whatever they were on.
They killed
whatever
it.
Show
yep.
they were on.
The Late Late Show with Billy Gardell, yep.
With Billy Gardell,
and
I saw them.
They're going to be playing Thursday and Sunday in Vegas at the same room, but late night, like 11 or 12 or something like that.
Good.
So it's killer.
So I'm in the Tempe Improv Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Wednesday night. Jessica Testaments is back at
yes.
the motherfucking Ice House, 8 o'clock. Wednesday night, the 29th. Also, for you bad motherfuckers that are sitting at home scratching your ass, not doing nothing this weekend, Iron Dragon TV is still there for you. IronDragonTV.com
Didn't
is
go
the
nowhere.
Leader in motherfucking classic martial arts films. Brotherhood of Blood, Enter the Fat Dragon. They got them all.
Whoa.
They got them fucking all. You understand me? All you got to do is go to Iron Dragon TV right now. You're thinking I'm watching some classic martial arts right now. Go to Iron Dragon TV. See what they got to offer. They got some great fucking classic martial art films. The Ip Man series. They got Jackie Chan. Go on there, pressing the code word.
Joey.
Boom. Bang. And get two free fucking movies on the arm like
wow.
that. That's how we roll. Two free fucking movies, all right? Just in case you're looking for optimization to the total fucking max. You want the best that you could be. Let's say you're lifting. You're not getting the gains you want. Let's say you're not writing. Your clarity's a little off. You know, I tell you, I got the answer for you. On it. Alpha Brain. 100% guaranteed. Nootropics. They don't even want the fucking product back. That's how strong the product is. Sometimes I can't write. I don't do them every month. I try to go on like Alpha Brain cycles. That's how strong they are. Do me a favor. Go to onit.com right now and see all the great products they have for you. Supplements. Tremendous. New Mood. They got Shroom Tech, which gives you more energy. And they got the Immune. If you're on a plane, you don't want Ebola. You take the motherfucking Shroom Tech. They've got Hemp Force Protein. I mean, they've got the tea oil that you put in your smoothies. It's that fat that everybody's talking. I mean, they just got so many things. And I'm not giving them any justice. Go to onit.com right now. Look at the supplements. I can't help you with the weights and the fucking kettlebells, but as far as the supplements are concerned, I'll get you 10% off. Get the hemp protein, the acai vanilla, or the chocolate. You're going to fucking love it. Go to the box and press in.
Church.
Boom, and get 10% off. C-H-U-R-C-H, you bad motherfucker, you. So go to onit.com for optimization to the fucking max. Stop being a fucking mutt. Listen, you're sitting there with those rotten fucking underwears. By the way, MeUndies sent me a little cargo bag last week. I got some stuff for you at the house, Lee. They sent me
Thanks.
A long sleeve fucking shirt. They're like rash guards, growing a little lighter. They pull the sweat and the heat from your body. I mean, their underwear are sensational. They got men and women's selection of underwear. They got little boxer shorts. They got fucking shorts like sweatpants. They cut off. You look like a runaway slave. You know those little slave shorts they had in the fucking 1800s?
I think you're talking about the boy shorts that you hate so much.
No, these are longer. They're sweatpants that they cut at the knees with a little string around them.
Oh.
I've worked out with them both days. Comfortable as shit. I had the blue pair and the pink pair. That's
no.
right. I wore pink pair. I don't give a fuck. It's a rough pink. What do I give a fuck? I'm 52. I never sucked a dick in my life. What do I got to be unconscious about? Anyway.
Wait, hold on one second.
I have, and
what
I don't
if
even
I was
wear
wearing pink.
Pink.
But that's you, because you're a fucking moutage. Me, I'm the king of swing. I've been slinging dicks since 78. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. Go to MeUndies.com right now. I got a pair of MeUndies right now, and they feel comfortable as fuck. They pull away the moisture. Your balls don't get sweaty. Your balls don't pop out of the side when you're exercising. Sometimes you're on the bike, and you can feel your ball drop, and it's just hanging there. Like, what the fuck is going on in my world? I'm by myself. Where's my twin? You don't need that with it because your nuts are compact. They stay right in there. Go to MeUndies.com right now and press the code word
Joey
and get 20% off plus free shipping, right?
And wow. Yep, in the U.S. and Canada.
In the United States and Canada. That's MeUndies for you. So we're not fucking around. Listen, you're sitting there going, Joey, you sent me to this movie site. I'm jumping up and down with Onnit. What am I going to eat tonight? I'll tell you what you're going to eat.
In your clean underwear.
Naturebox.com. Dietary. To the fucking max, you understand me? 100% satisfaction guaranteed. I'm talking from the chocolate hazelnuts to the double berry fucking fruit strips to the salt and pepper pistachios. They just keep
Ooh.
Coming at you, these fucking flavors. It's the sriracha cashews, the fucking almond cocoa. I mean, we don't stop. And they're all nutritionist approved, fresh, no gluten if you don't want. Tremendous fucking snacks. You want a snack. You're sick and tired of eating those fucking potato chips that taste like ass. Your fingers are greased like you fucking finger banged the monkey or some shit. Who needs that shit? Go to right now, naturebox.com right now, and get snacks sent to your house for free. I'm going to give you a starter package free.
Sample pack.
R-E-E. Sample pack. You have three little bags. and two big bags. You understand me? For free. Right now. All you got to do is press and what in the box, fucko?
Joey.
J-O-E-Y and get your free sample back sent to your house. Shipping's going to cost you about $1.90. Why are you crying, bitch? I'm sending you $40 worth of snacks, nutrition, straight to your house. So I want to give another shout out to Onnit, IronDragonTV.com, MeUndies.com, and NatureBox.com. All right, cocksuckers? And that's it. It's going to be a beautiful week. Houston, I miss you guys already, but it's Tempe's turn. I'm going to go down there. We're going to fucking rock the house, me and D'Agostino. And that's it. That's how it ends, you bad motherfuckers. Do not forget, Saturday night, Showtime. 11 o'clock California time.
11 o'clock. Oh, yeah.
Is it Friday? Yes.
Friday. What did I say, Saturday?
So that means it comes out at 3 o'clock in the
Showtime.
East Coast?
Showtime. No, 11 o'clock. 11
in the
o'clock
East Coast?
On the East
so
Coast.
8 yeah, o'clock so, in California. Yeah. 8 o'clock in California. Listen, if I know you're out getting your dick sucked. I don't expect you to sit there and watch Eleanor, but do me a favor. DVR it.
Yes.
You come home that night with your girlfriend, then you watch Eleanor. Yeah. Okay? Do me that favor as a personal. Andrew Dice Clay was one of the guys that helped me realize that I was going to get into comedy, which means he saved my life in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not here just talking shit about people that every one of these comics, man, they spark a new fucking comic, and that means you've done your job, you know? So please support Andrew, support my girl Eleanor and Colin yeah. and Jason Ross and Wheels Parisi. And I love Aaron you guys. Myers. We will be back Monday night with Dennis, the fucking pimp of pimps, to promote his new book from the Bunny Branch. He'll be here Monday night at 8 o'clock at night with some freaks.
Does he have the same girlfriend?
I don't know. A different one's coming. Lee, he said he's bringing a chick that they call her Judy One Tooth. She's going to suck Lee's
yes.
nut. Right out of your fucking asshole.
So wait. Before we go, tell them why you like the one tooth.
What?
That's a big thing for you. You like having a chick with one tooth suck your dick.
Would you stop
it? This thing is like put it in the
scrape?
Hole.
No.
I don't know what he's talking about. He's high as fuck. Oh, don't listen to this fucking guy. I love you guys. Stay black. Eleanor Kerrigan, I love you. Where are you going to be beside Vegas this week? Where else can they see you? You have a webpage?
Yes, I do have
what
a website. Eleanor J. Kerrigan.
.com?
Yeah.
Okay, .com. Go check her out. She's a dear friend. And she's got balls of steel to do what she does. Never complains. A lot of people, when I walked in last night, was like, I'm going to rush. Can I not fuck? No. She hung around. She did her job. That's why she gets the utmost respect from me.
Thank
you very much, motherfuckers. Thank you for supporting the church. Thank you for supporting Lee and his podcast. And if you want consulting on your podcast, please hit Lee up on Twitter. He'll call you up. He'll come to your house. He'll fix your wires. He'll stick an electronic microphone up your ass if you need to and get that podcast out of you.
Oh.
But Lee's available for consulting. I love you guys. Stay black. Have a great week. Monday night, 8 o'clock. Thank you, Eleanor. Carol.
Thank you. I love Lee's face.
I'm kind of confused.
Do you do consulting?
I've started to.
Oh, good.
It's been a lot of fun.
Do you do websites and shit like that? No,
but I'm going to do the ads, and then I'll... They don't want to hear this.
Oh, shit.
Now that the show's over, don't forget to go to naturebox.com and sign up to get your free sample box of great-tasting healthy snacks. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with delicious treats like barbecue kettle kernels. Go to naturebox.com/Joey. That's naturebox.com/Joey. Also, go to MeUndies.com/Joey. When you're at MeUndies.com, check out the pics of the men's and women's underwear they have. And when you go to MeUndies.com/Joey, you're going to get 20% off of your first order with free shipping in the United States and Canada. Go to Onnit.com and use code word CHURCH to get 10% off of your order of all their optimization products like Alpha Brain and New Mood. And go to IronDragonTV.com and use code word Joey to get 2 free rentals of all of the great martial arts movies. They're the leader in 4K. And when you go to IronDragonTV.com, use code word Joey.